halacha on the mitzvah.
Okay. Okay, fine. So, we've been talking about now, I don't know how many weeks this has been, between in different variations of it, the issue of inviting non-Jews to your house for a Yom Tov meal. So, just to recap where we are. The Gemara had outlined two different positions that excluded excluded either non-Jews or animals from being for cooking and doing malachut for them on Yom Tov, right? Our normal rule on Yom Tov is achasher yachal lachem, achol nevesh u'levado yeser lachem, that while most of the malachot that are asr on Shabbos are asr on Yom Tov, the exception to that rule is are the malachot that are necessary for preparing food. But that permission is limited to Jews, and excludes non-Jews, and perhaps excludes animals as well, or might not exclude animals if you think they're different, because they are supported by the Jews. They are the responsibility of the Jews, whereas the non-Jews are not. And we noted that the simple understanding of this limitation is that the heter v'ochol nefesh, the reason that we allow people to cook, to prepare on Yom Tov, the reason the Torah really allows it, is presumably because of Simchas Yom Tov, because of the unique mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, so the Torah waives certain of the malachot, and they're not included in the prohibition. Now, because of the limitation on cooking and doing malachot for non-Jews, so Chazal then added an added level of Isser, and said that not only, obviously, you can't cook for them, but you can't even invite non-Jews to a meal on Yom Tov, while you can on Shabbos, because if you invite them on Yom Tov, you'll end up cooking for them. Now, we noted that there's a three-way machlokas rishonim, in terms of... Oh, I think we need... we need another chair. It's three-way machlokas rishonim to explain what it is we're actually worried you're going to do. So, as we noted on Daf Yud Zayin, there is a concept called Ribui Shirim, that when you are already cooking on Yom Tov, Beheter, when you're already cooking and you're allowed to, you're preparing for Yom Tov, so you're allowed to add food to the pot, even if that food is going to be eaten after Yom Tov. So, the question of, well, is that true if you added food for non-Jews? So here we have three positions. We have the position of the Balei Tosfos, who say that no, the Ribui Shiurim, when we say that you can add food to the pot, that's only true if you have two factors. One is that you're adding food to a pot you're already cooking for Yom Tov, and two, that even the additions are for Jews. But if the additions are for non-Jews, so then it's anti-Ochel Nefesh, and the fact that you have intent to cook it for non-Jews, that actually makes it forbidden, even though it's merely adding to the pot. That position is rejected by most Rishonim, who assume that no, on a biblical level, if you're just adding to the pot, so that's going to be permitted. What we're worried about is that you're going to cook for the non-Jew either in a separate pot, or you're going to cook non-kosher food, which is definitionally for the non-Jew. And that was the Machlokas, the Rashba, and the Ran that we saw last week. Okay, then we move from there.
It's okay to cook tray for somebody Jewish on Yom
Tov? Oh, hold that. You're supposed to cut out.
Presumably, right. But yes, okay. You should never cook tray for a Jew, barring pikuach nefesh. Yeah. Okay, so then we noted that to get from the... Now, whatever it is that we're worried about, there is this gzeira derabanan that you aren't allowed to cook for non-Jews on Yom Tov, and therefore you're not allowed to invite them to a meal on Yom Tov. But we noted that any possible heter that we're going to come up with is going to have to deal with two things simultaneously. First is going to have to explain why we've solved the biblical problem, why this is not a violation of malacha, why we're still within Ochel Nefesh. And two, once we've solved the biblical issue, then you have to figure out, is there a way of waiving the rabbinic prohibition, which is obviously easier than waiving a biblical prohibition, but it's still not that easy, because it is still a prohibition. So that's where we really are. Last week we dealt with the question of shivcha and people who rely on you, but now let's get to the question of just inviting non-Jews on Yom Tov. So if we go to 9, so this is where, right, Shulchan Aruch, and we'll summarize the issues, and we're going to need one more chair.
I was wondering where the makeup is.
Okay. Well, pause for chair.
I didn't have to go to Mars.
No.
We haven't been. Oh wow. I don't think we've ever had a minion.
A full house.
Oh, at least afterwards you could say...
Got it, sure.
What you need now is to include a response in your emails. I will attend now, I think.
We got Marv Minion, yeah. What? I did, but in general, if we can't have a minion, we could. It'll be close. Okay, so 9. Shulchan Aruch. And then we will try to deal with the halach l'maisa. So Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Ein mevashlim b'tzorach kutim b'yom tov. You're not allowed to cook for non-Jews on Yom Tov. L'fichach, azer lehazmino, shema yarbish b'shvilo. And therefore, not only is it forbidden to cook for him, you aren't allowed to invite him on Yom Tov because you might add food for him. V'dafka lehazmino. The only problem is when you invite him. The Ramah clarifies, what does that mean? Hagal leveso, meaning you can invite him to eat at your house. Avoshloch lo leveso al yidei kuti shari. But you're allowed to send food to him, right? Once you've already cooked, right? You have leftovers, whatever. You want to send him a piece of cake, you want to send him cookies, you want to send him your special hummus, whatever you want to send him, that you're allowed to do. Because now, obviously, you're not going to add. He's not coming into your house. Whatever you're sending him has already been prepared. That's fine. The Ramah says you have to send it with a non-Jew because carrying is also malachas. So you can't carry for the non-Jew on Yom Tov. But you can send it with a non-Jew. That would be fine. Aval avdo v'shiv chaso, but your servant, your maid servant, v'ken shleich shenestal chulo, or a messenger who came to you, v'ken kudish ba me a love, and a non-Jew who comes by himself, meaning uninvited, then mutter la'achilo imo, v'lo chashinun shemayar b'shvil, and then we're not worried. Now, just that last point, right? We hadn't discussed it at length last week, we just noted it in the Gemara, but that's from the last part of the Gemara. If you go back to the Gemara, right before the Mishnah, literally the last two dots before the Mishnah on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. So the Gemara had said, "Mereimar Marzutro kave mikluhu nachri biyom tov." Mereimar Marzutro, when a non-Jew would visit them on Yom Tov, Amrle, they would tell him, "Inicha lacha b'may detrichalan." If you're okay with what we've already made, mutav, that's great. V'ilo tircha yisera daite didach lo tarchin. But just know that we're not going to cook extra. If you come, you show up, that's fine. Now, we'll see in a moment that there will be a machlokas rishonim and poskim, whether you actually need to verbalize that, which, you know, might be mildly offensive, right? But, okay, right, if you actually have to tell the non-Jew, by the way, I can't cook for you, or...
When he comes, or to invite him?
Like, no, when he comes, like, right? If he comes by himself, he knocks under your door...
means that
he would visit you.
Visited you and invite him.
Right. Right, so that makes it here to Shulchan Aruch, that if he comes... then you're allowed to feed him because you're not going to be Marv B'Shvilo, and we'll see whether you actually have to verbalize that or not. Then the Ramah add.
What if you're cooking for yourself?
What?
And he eats what you already have.
Right, well, so that would be. Right. That would be Mutter, assuming you think. If you already cooked it, you're already cooking for yourself, yeah. So then it would be Mutter for sure, D'Oraisa. And if he already showed up, so then you'd be allowed to give it to him. As we'll see, it's machlokas whether you actually need to tell him, by the way, I'm not going to cook anything extra. This is what we have, and that's it. Right? You actually have to verbalize that. Yes, that's a sure way of him leaving, and then you've solved all problems. But okay, fine. Whatever, that's reality.
I'm saying if he eats what you prepared for yourself, what prohibits you from cooking for yourself?
Nothing. That's fine. Right? And I didn't have room, but I'll mention this tshuva, and it's a very important tshuva in the Rav Pa'alim on that point. We'll come back to that in a minute. Okay, the Ramah says, "Umuter laharbas b'shvil avdo v'shiv chosav b'osa kedayr shemavasho bal atzmo." For your maid servant, you're allowed to cook extra in the same pot. And as we saw last week, since we paskin against the Balei Tosfos, as long as you're cooking the same pot, you've solved the biblical problem. And since it's your eved and your shivcha, it's not a guest, it's your household help, so we're not worried that you're going to cook some unique dish for them, and therefore that solves the dirabbanan. And that's why, as long as it's in the same pot, we solve the problem of household help, where you're allowed to cook for them, as long as it's just, right, it's not a new dish, it's just you're increasing the amount of soup you're cooking, meat you're cooking, whatever the case may be. But not other everyone else, it's forbidden. And if you are using the non-Jew's oven, and you pay him with a piece of bread, so then, don't designate the loaf of bread you're going to give to the non-Jew before you bake it, does ofa shalkuti, because then that loaf of bread is only the non-Jews. Cook, bake the whole thing, right? And then afterwards designate it. So at least when you're baking, everything is potentially for the non-Jew.
Okay. You cannot cook anything hot for another for non-Jew unless you're
say it again.
The point of Shulchan Aruch, you cannot cook even in the same pot for another Jew.
You can't.
That's for a koi.
No, you can't. You can't.
For non-Jew.
You can't invite. You can't. I mean, it won't solve the inviting problem.
But you're
right?
if you're allowed to put in the pot, you're cooking for yourself. So
according to the Shulchan Aruch, as we saw in the Beis Yosef last week, he thinks biblically cooking the same pot is mutter, but inviting is still usher because of the Gzeir Darabanan.
So here he's saying that you can't cook in the same pot even for the non-Jew that's not your Rebbe and your Shivcha. And I guess what you're saying, that's Rabbinikas. So he said.
Me.
I think he was talking about the same pot, no?
Right, because that's the Rabbanan, right? Meaning, because inviting them, right? If they already show up and you have food, so then you could give it to them. Right, but you couldn't cook for them.
You couldn't cook for them.
So. Right, that seems to be part of this Isra of Lahazmino. Yeah. Okay.
I thought that the Isra of Lazmino is part of the Isra that you can't cook for them. Because why can't you be Muslim then? Because you're going to cook for them.
Right. And then he says, right, and it sounds like, I'm not sure, it sounds like he thinks you can't lechad chila cook, that the Rabbanan includes maybe in it not cooking for a non-Jew in the same pot, or not inviting them to eat when you're going to cook in the same pot. I'm not really clear which one he's doing. Okay. So now, we have several questions that we now have to deal with.
Getting back to what Sam said, how does it get rid of the Doraita if you're with intent cooking the same pot for a goy?
Because according to the Beis Yosef, Ribui Shurim, right, if you're only adding the same pot, it's mutter even for a goy. Right? Tosfos rejects Tosfos. Beis Yosef rejects Tosfos. Right? Tosfos says if you're cooking with intent for a non-Jew in the same pot, it's forbidden. The Beis Yosef, possibly like the Ran and the Rashba, that's not true. That if you're adding to the same pot, then it's permitted. Daraisa.
That's only if that improves the cooking, or that's irrelevant.
It assumes that it always improves the cooking, definitionally, right? And it's only one action, and therefore it's always mutter, right? So the Beis Yosef can only say that because he rejects Tosfos, right? According to Tosfos, none of this is true. According to Tosfos, but both the Beis Yosef and the Rama, and the Darkei Moshe, so both Shulchan Aruch and Rama both reject Tosfos. I'm not totally clear why they... I'll be honest. Personally, I don't understand why they reject Tosfos so comfortably, because it's... What? Because it makes a lot of sense. It's Tosfos... It's Tosfos of the Orchel Chaim, right? It actually is a very compelling argument in the Sugya. It's Meiri. It's a lot of Rishonim, but Shulchan Aruch and Ramah just reject it, and the Achronim, they don't even bring it into calculation. It's just like, right, if it's the same pot, biblically, it's fine. Again, Tosfos in the back of our minds, we should remember, thinks this is a Daraisa problem, but Shulchan Aruch doesn't even entertain that lahalacha. Okay. Now, let's say you do cook in a separate pot, though. Right? Let's say you did cook in a separate pot. So, is that really going to be biblical? Right? So we've seen the assumption of everybody is that really would be biblical, and that's why we're so worried about it. The problem, really, that we haven't gone into, and I didn't want to get bogged down into, so I just gave the summary in the Ber Halacha in 10, is what about mitoch? Right? Forget Ribui Shurim. What about the principle of mitoch? Mitoch, shehotr l'tzorach, hotr nami shelo l'tzorach. But once we've said it's mutter to cook for ochel nevesh on Yom Tov, so there's a principle that once something's mutter on Yom Tov, it's mutter. Right? It doesn't matter. So how can you say that cooking for a non-Jew is forbidden at all? Like, how did this... If it's not kosher, fine. Right? If it's not kosher food, fine. Because that's not ochel nevesh. That's nothing. Maybe, right? But in the end of the day, right, mitoch should just solve the problem.
The Rashba who was worried about...
Right, so I'm saying maybe that's what the Rashba is trying to do. He's hedging, and he's saying, well, if you do it non-kosher, then it's not litzorech at all, or something like that.
But mitoch would only work based on the fact that you're cooking for a fellow Jew.
Nitzach wouldn't work because you have a separate pasuk that says Lachem
Belolad. So
would keep it in the Doraita.
Correct. So that was what we had seen, and that's what he summarizes. But we'll see in a moment. Be'er Lacha summarizes. There's basically two possible ways of going with the Mitoch. One is to say what Howie says, which is what the Avnei Miluim says, which the Baalei Tosfos say, right? Which is the reason Mitoch doesn't help is because Mitoch helps unless you're cooking for a non-Jew. If you're cooking for a non-Jew, you now have anti-Ochel Nefesh, and therefore what we called Hadra Li Isur Kama, either Hadra Li Isur Kama, right? And now it's the Isur of cooking in Yom Tov, or as the Baalei Tosfos formulated in other places, as the Baalei Tosfos formulated on Daf Yud Beis, that it's a separate Chiyuv Aseh, right? It's not the Lav. Right, Mitoch gets rid of the lav, but there's a separate asay that you're only allowed to cook for Jews, and this is a bitul asay, which we saw this already when we did the question of lagavoa. Right, it's the exact same. Okay, it's probably the exact same discussion as the kachim sugya, which we saw like a month and a half ago. Though the Avni Miluim thinks that they might be different, but let's assume that they're the same. The other possibility is to say, no, it really is true. Mitoch solves the problem, and the Gzeira Derabanan, we've been saying until now that the Gzeira Derabanan not to invite a non-Jew is because of the assumption that if you cooked for a non-Jew in a separate pot, it would be biblical. Maybe that's not true, right? Maybe this is a double Derabanan. How did we get to it, right? Because even cooking for a non-Jew is really mutter because of Mitoch, right? How did we get, why would we have a double Lefel Derabanan? Nobody explains why would we do that. I assume this is not true. Right, I assume that the right answer is what Howie said, is that either Hadra Li Isur Kama, right, or there's a separate Chiyuv Aseh that you're not allowed to cook for a non-Jew. But that's what the Be'er Halacha summarizes in 10. He says, Hinei b'simen tafkuf yerches, kasavnu da'af l'inyin afiyu bishol gam ken amrin mitoch shohut l'tzorach ochol nefesh utranami shol l'tzorach. He said, I should point out, the third possibility is the Tepaskin, like Tosfos against Rashi, that even mitoch requires so ochel nefesh ktsat, right? They need some tzorech on Yom Tov. It may not be ochel nefesh, rather, but it needs to be some tzorech Yom Tov. And cooking for a non-Jew is defined as not l'tzorech Yom Tov. Those are really the three possibilities, and that's what the Be'er Halacha summarizes. So he says, so even though we say that we paskin mitoch by even by cooking, says achein b'inan sheyeh tzorech hayom ktsas. So possibility one is you still need it to be tzorech hayom l'tzorech over the gilulim lo mikri klal tzorech hayom, and cooking for a non-Jew doesn't count. And that would bring us back to a biblical prohibition. Again, either a lav or an asay. And even if you think this is not true, that mitoch means it's mitoch, 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 and it's mutter ligamre, al kol panim midrabanan aser, it would be forbidden midrabanan. K'moshem luchok maskanas beis Yosef sham va'od nu chalomar delatzarach ovdi gilulim. Or you could say that since it's for a non-Jew, kevan shegilsa torah lochem v'lo lovdi gilulim garatvei. Or you could say it's worse because you're doing it for a non-Jew. Lukule al meyesh baza iser daraisa da'amrinan ahadre lurasurakama midekasav sham deino loke mitam hawil umash mehech deleka tamzek gon shabishal samach lachashecha odrefa v'chulei v'chulei. Which would bring us to three possibilities. Either it's usher d'araisa because you need it to be at least a little bit l'tzorach, and cooking for non-Jew doesn't count. Or the fact you say lochem lo l'nachrim, either hadre li surakama, it's the malacha, or it's an isser asay d'araisa, a separate isser asay, right? Or, no, in Ebchanami, it is in fact only usher d'rabanan. But I think the answer is unlikely to be that one, right? We're not going to have gzeira al gabe gzeira. It's very, as we discussed on Daf Yutes, we very rarely have gzeira al gzeira, and it's only in cases where it's like in chiyuv skila or something like that, but very rarely for like malachos derabanan, for isuri lavin, which cooking and yom tov at the end of the day is a lav, do we have gzeira al gzeira? I mean, we do sometimes, but that's the least likely possibility. Probably what's going on is it's biblical because mitoch doesn't apply when you're doing it for a non-Jew. Okay. So, that means we have a daraisa to cook for the non-Jew, a derabanan to not invite them. Is there any heter? So, possibility one is what we saw in the Magen Avraham. So, the Gemara had already outlined, and Shulchan Aruch had paskin this way, that if the guy shows up by himself, so then that's permitted. So we asked, okay, so what if the guy didn't show up by himself, but you invited him right before you were going to eat the meal, so you weren't going to end up cooking anymore, right? So is that mutter? So Magen Avraham says, "Achar shetiken kol tarchei seuda samoch leseuda mutar lahazmino." The Magen Avraham says, "Yes, heter number one is that if the invitation is right before you cook, before you eat, meaning when you're done cooking, so then it's mutter even to invite. But of course, this is only when you didn't have it in mind, right? You can't pretend, right? You can't, you know, in your mind say, I'm going to invite my next door neighbor, the non-Jew, for Yom Tov lunch, right? But not tell him until an hour before your meal, because then you had him in mind, right? It would have to be, what the Magen Avraham is saying, what?
So how would you invite him?
So the Magen Avraham says, right? He said, it's kagon sha'akom ba'ilav. Classic case would be, you weren't expecting it, right? A non-Jewish friend of yours knows you keep Yom Tov, so they can't call you on Yom Tov, but they're driving through the area, so they knock on your door right before you have lunch.
Well, this is the question of whether you can invite a non-Jew or not, because he says you came on his own.
Oh, no. So then the Magen Avraham says, at that point, you could invite him, and you could say, hey, do you want to stay for lunch? Right? That would be hazmana.
Sort of kind of a weird, kind of unusual situation, but generally speaking, you can't invite a guest on.
Correct.
No, but he's saying you can invite him if it's.
According to Magen Avraham, according to the Magen Avraham, you could also presumably, let's say you realize, come back to that in a second. We'll come to that in a second. Or alternatively, you realize half an hour before you have lunch that you have extra food, right? So you knock on your next door neighbor's door and you invite him for lunch. According to the Magen Avraham, that's also mutter, right? According to the Ramad, no, that's kagon. That's an example. But another example would be where you have extra food, you knock on his door. Now, one of the directions that some of the modern poskim try to bring up, but it's really not popular, is what Alan just said. Is maybe we could extend this principle. Because according to Magen Avraham, once my food is done, so then I can invite them. Well, if that's the case, what if I cook everything before Yom Tov? Right? So then, could we extend the Magen Avraham's principle and then invite people?
He seems to be saying Samach L'Suda.
Yeah.
Right. So the problem is, the Magen Avraham doesn't seem to say that, because the Magen Avraham isn't saying you're allowed to invite people, right, after you've already cooked the food. The point is, you're allowed to invite people when you're presumably not going to cook any more food, right? That's subtly different, right? If it's right before the meal, right, the food is cooked. If it's the night before, Samach L'Suda. And he said, so it sounds like you can't extend it, because Samach L'Suda sounds critical for the Magen Avraham, for the very simple reason that we all know that if the first night of Yom Tov, I gave this example last week, but it's true, right? First night of Yom Tov, this happens every time, every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, doesn't matter, right? As soon as Orla lights the candles, right, and she looks in the fridge, and we're having guests for lunch, right? She says, did I make enough food? So if it's Shabbos, maybe you'll make another salad, because you can't cook anything. If it's Yom Tov, so then you can cook. Right? Presumably the reason the Magen Avraham, I think, cannot be extended to say you could cook everything out of Yom Tov and then invite people is because everybody knows that the second Yom Tov sets in, you're going to be second-guessing yourself.
If you're a girl.
What?
If you're a girl.
Fine.
If you're a man doing that.
Good luck making that distinction in halacha, right? There's other problems. For example, cooking new food, maybe you won't do. Let's say you're not neurotic about it, you won't cook new food. But your soup, right, is now in your fridge waiting to be cooked, right, waiting to be warmed up on Yom Tov. Now, that, according to the Rama, is an Isser D'Oraisa. If you have liquid that is cooled down and is cold, even if it was already cooked, cooking it again is called bishul de'areisa. So even if you've cooked everything out of Yom Tov, that's not going to help you, right? Because there are things that we do that are reheating that are bishul de'areisa. So while the Magen Avraham is a nice theoretical heter, it's very limited in its scope, as it, right? It includes basically the case where someone knocks on your door, I was passing by, and you're allowed to say, right, it's a little bit different than the Gemara. The Gemara seems to be the guy who has sort of imposed himself on you, right? As opposed to the Magen Avraham says you could actively invite him, but right before the meal. Second problem with the Magen Avraham is not a problem with the Magen Avraham, it's a problem with Psak, which is that even the Magen Avraham's heter is rejected by many of the Achronim. Mishnah Berurah rejects the Magen Avraham outright. Some of the Achronim don't. The Lev Aryeh bring, for example, suggests that Magen Avraham is perhaps correct, but the best that's going to get us is on Yom Tov, right before the meal. So if we're talking about how does Rabbi Karapkin invite people to his Seder, right, in advance, this doesn't provide us with much room. We're going to get to Heterim, don't worry. I'm not going to leave you without any Heter. Whether I, you know, Whether I'm convinced that it's totally mutzer is a different story, but as we'll see, this has been the minhag for many hundreds of years, so but we'll see. Okay. Now, before we make things better, let's make things worse, right? Because so far, we've basically been talking about non-Jews. But then the Mishnah Berurah throws a curveball and says, by the way, if we're trying to solve this problem, we don't just have to solve it for Jews, non-Jews. We have to solve it for Jews who are Machal Shabbos as well, which creates even more problems than we had until now. So if you look in 12 in Bet, Mishnah Berurah Bet.
I want to say, there's no ability to cook on Yantif for people that aren't Shomer
Shabbos. Well, that's what we're going to see. So the Mishnah Berurah claims yes. Mishnah Berurah in Beis says Lzarch Karaim B'Tshuvas Rabbi Tzalosim and Samach Gimel Oser V'Yesh Matirim D'Tomim Hem U'Minag Avosayim B'Yadehem. So the Tshuvas Rabbi B'Meinu B'Tzalal says it's Oser to cook for Karaites, and some say it's Mutter U'Mumer Lavos Kolchom Oluchal Shabbos B'Vresya Dina Ka'akum. And if someone Luchal Shabbos B'Vresya, so then they're like a guy and you can't cook for them on Yom Tov. This is the position of the Mishnah Berurah. Now, many of the Acharonim, as we'll see, for example, in 13, the Tzitz Eliezer are going to reject this outright and say, look, dealing with the prohibition of inviting non-Jews is hard enough, right? Arguing that it applies to Jews is really problematic for a host of reasons. So I'll say them outside and then we'll see some of them inside. One is, yes, in many areas of Halacha, Jews from Machal Shabbos Beferhesia are considered non-Jews. But that's very hard to apply in this scenario, because in the case of cooking on Yom Tov, what's the argument? Right? Why is it you're allowed to cook for non-Jews?
For Jews.
You're allowed to cook for Jews and not for non-Jews, because... Ochel Nefesh, because they're Chayvin Simchas Yom Tov. So are Jews who are Machal Shabbos suddenly not Chayiv in Yom Tov, that they shouldn't cook for themselves? As the Rav Shlomo Zalman says, but I can give you this piece inside because it's so obvious, right? Rav Shlomo Zalman says, I don't get it. What are you going to tell me? That a non-religious Jew, if he cooks for himself on Yom Tov, has violated Malacha, right? That is what's Yotze, right? If you think you can't cook, right, and you're going to start draw these very fine chilukim, that a non-religious Jew vis-a-vis himself, it is Ochel Nefesh, but for another Jew to cook for him, right, those distinctions are very tenuous. So many of the Acharonim just say, this is just wrong, right? While it's true that in many areas of Halacha, a Jew who's not Shomer Shabbos is Dino Ka'akum, this can't be one of them.
Right. It's point. Also, he's in your house celebrating...
he's in your house.
To you,
right, so. Which brings us to the second point, which is, even if this were true at some point in history, the standard Psak Bizman has to say that non-religious Jews are not Mechal Shabbos Bifarhesia, they are Tinoko Shenishbu, and therefore they are not in this category, even if you thought theoretically they should be. So if you look in 13, the Tzitz Eliezer puts, he says, Aval Bikan. We're going to do a little bit of sort of back and forth, because I just put all the Mishnah Berurah together, and then we'll address issue by issue. Tzitz Eliezer says, Aval Kan, Linyan Dina, Da Biyomta, vis-a-vis this halacha, Yeshlom Razil Basar Taima. Let's look at the reason behind this halacha. The whole Vitama Isr Ba'akum, the reason you can't cook for a non-Jew, Bazehu Mishum Shemayarba Bishvilo Dvarm Ha'asurim, said, first of all, according to the Rajba, this doesn't get off the ground. Because according to the Rajba, why can't you invite, right? So to recap his argument, right? As we said, every time we want to deal with the question of whether you can invite someone, you have to deal with the biblical Isr and the rabbinic Isr. So the Tzitz Eliezer says, first of all, as we'll see, I don't think Lochem La'akum excludes non from Jews. Two is, even if on the biblical level it did, as long as you're cooking in the same pot, it's mutter d'araisa. The only question is, can you invite them? Is there a derabanan? But the Tzitz Eliezer says, well, why do we say you can't invite a non-Jew? Well, according to the Rajba, it's because you might cook not kosher for him. That isn't true for a non-religious Jew, because you're not allowed to cook non-kosher for him. So the derabanan for sure can apply, right? Even if you want to think that lochem v'lo la'akum excludes Jews from Machal Shabbos, the derabanan shouldn't apply to them. You should be allowed to invite them as long as you make sure to cook in the same pot. So even according to the Mishnah Berurah, and I forget if... Yeah, no, he even says this, right? At the end of his tshuva, he says, and maybe the Mishnah Berurah even agrees, that when he says that you're not allowed to cook for non-religious Jews, he means you can't cook for them, but you can invite them. The only thing maybe the Mishnah Berurah means is that you would have to make sure to cook in the same pot. Right? Tzitz Eliezer doesn't like that either. But he says, right, if you want to be machmir for the Mishnah Berurah, so then that shouldn't mean you can't invite non-religious Jews. It just means that you can't cook separate food for them. But Ribu Shirim is not going to be usher for them. So he says, first of all, since the reason we can't invite it because you might cook treif, according to Rajba, which he's assuming, if you're inviting a Jew who's Mechal Shabbos, still, the Darabanan is waived, right? Said so you can't feed him non-kosher food. That's obvious. Furthermore, besides, I don't even think the Mishnah Berurah meant it. He only means it vis-a-vis cooking. Sorry, inviting. No, again, back. Vis-a-vis cooking, not inviting. To be shum, because of Ikara Din Shalain Mevashal Mitzar Kudim Biyomtov. Because then maybe then you could say he's a guy for this purpose. Dalzeh, Be'em is Besabin Divrei Mishnah Berurah Bazeh Divar of Sifkat and Beis. Avala Seifra, but vis-a-vis the latter part, meaning the derabanan derivative that you can't invite him. That shouldn't apply. So I guess I cut out part of it. But the right, so his first part of it was that he doesn't think that Jews fall under this exclusion. And two is even if they fell under the Daraisa exclusion, that all that would mean is that you should cook in the same pot and not in a separate pot. Now, Mikol Ha'amur, the context of his tshuva was, what does an owner of a hotel do when he has a lot of non-religious Jews? He says, Nirofil is daiti, diish makam latir, leval malon, lachsein, it's lo, biyomtov, lachilu, shtir, yehudi, mechal, shabbos. So I think you can have non-religious Jews. Ach, if you want to be machmer like a Mishnah Berurah, yizar, shaloi, vashal, biyomtov, begdeir, miyuchedes, avur, barnash, zeh, bilvad. So make sure that you don't only have non-religious Jews, that you have religious Jews also, and you're cooking all in the same pots. You're not having in mind that this is only for this table of Mechal Shabbos. You're just cooking for everybody together, and then it's just Ribu Shurim, and that's fine.
Look at the King David breakfast on the first day of Kuas or something. You know, like half the room there thought it was probably.
What?
The King David breakfast, right, on the first day of Shavuos, one day of Shavuos in Israel, half the room there is Mechal Shabbos.
Correct, right, and he's saying that's still fine because you're not being miyachidit. Now, you'd have an interesting question, which is, wait a second, what if you have a fancy breakfast where you have the waiters making fresh eggs for people, right, because then it's not Ribu Shirim, then it's, right, cooking individually. That would be a bigger problem if you think that non-religious Jews are not included in the prohibition at all. So then that wouldn't be a problem. If you think that the daraisa still applies, but you're allowed to invite them, but you have to make sure to cook in the same pot, that would be a problem. But you could solve it potentially, as we'll see. Some of the achronim say, I have a good idea for you, which is this whole thing. Once you've solved the darabanan, you'll have the daraisa problem. But that's only for a Jew to cook for them. But what if you have the non-Jewish waiters cooking for them? So then you've solved the daraisa and the darabanan, and it should be mutar lechatchila.
That's the hotel solution.
That's one of the answers that's
because
given.
Because they have even goyim there. Also.
Correct. Right. And yeah, exactly. And that's going to be one of the
Jews, not religious Jews. They go in too.
Correct.
As tourists visiting the same hotel.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go back to the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah Gimel. So he said, Lehazmino, you can't invite him. The Einomolo Mashakarachinu called Sarche Su'uda. Right? He rejects the Magen Avram. And it doesn't work to just prepare everything in advance. Why? The Yesh Lacho Shema Yavashal Od Bekder Acheres Bishvilo Acheresimazmino wrote to Lechabel. Because the whole point. Is your worry that even if you've already cooked, you're going to cook more? You want to give him honor, so you're going to cook more. So now, why is it mutter, as Shulchan Aruch said, to send food to him? So I in my Mordechai vod kam achronim sheskimu the dafkim shaleach lo mimashech latzmo. This obviously must be a case where it's only food you already prepared for yourself. Of a mehirba bishvilo afil bozer keder shabishel gam kein latzmo asur. Because once you start having in mind that you're cooking extra for him, then it, back to the Darabanan. We're worried that, right, it's post facto, you can send leftovers, right? You realize you cooked extra cookies, you can send some cookies around. But if when you're baking them to begin with, baking, bad example, right, you're cooking soup, if you have in mind the non-Jew, then we're back to the Gzera Darabanan, that we're worried you're going to end up cooking more. It's only as an afterthought that it's mutter. That's the whole point. Umizet tired the mashen ogin rabim l'shloch b'yomtiv daron l'nachrit sharotz l'chavdam osivim b'shvil shlokedin heimosin. And therefore, these people who cook extra to send to the non-Jew, that's bad, right? This whole heter is only as an afterthought. The yesh me'achronim shemekilin, but some say no, it's mutter. Kimishavasho v'yachad gam l'tzarach atzmo, and some say no. The da'oraisa is solved because you're cooking the same pot. And the only time we're worried about the da'rabbanan is where he's actually coming to your house. But if you're sending to him, you're in more control than when he's coming to your house, right? It's less disconcerting because you'll send if you know you have extra food, and therefore they actually permit it. And therefore he says, makom evo, hefsid mamo nefshir shiyas lismo chalzeh. If there's an external reason to send him food, you can rely on these positions as long as you cook it in the same pot. Okay. Now, Shabbat Me'ilav, if the non-Jew shows up by himself, so Afim hu Adam Chashuv, even if he's a Chashuv person, meaning the type of person that had you known he was coming, you would have cooked extra for him. Kevin Shalo Hizmino Lavo, since you didn't invite him, Vidavka Shabbat Acher Shekvar Heichen Seudaso, and he only comes later, so that's why you're allowed to invite him. V'yish Cholkin, some say it's not true. Dakatim Adam Chashuv V'roi L'chaveit Choshen Shem Yarba B'Shvilo. Some say it's not true. That if he's too chashuv, then even if he shows up, you can't have him because you're going to end up cooking more for him. Unless you actually verbalize, im yaspik lechav b'masha chinu la'atzmenu bo ve'echol. If you are okay with what we already have, that's fine, but no more. And the Taz is a middle position. So you have two main positions. You have some who say you actually need to verbalize it, which is the Rashba. Many Rishonim say you don't have to verbalize it. The point is that if Shimon shows up by himself, we're not worried you're going to cook extra. The Taz is a middle position. He says you don't actually have to verbalize it. Even if the guy just shows up, you're allowed to feed him. What you can't do is Nosin lo b'lihas manav ha'haftzara sheyochel etzlo mutter de'en v'zechsha shem yarbe. You can't pressure him, right? You can't be that he shows up and you say, oh, you know, you should stay for lunch. And he says, you know, I'm really not sure. And you say, no, really, stay. We really want you. And he says, nah, I was going to go have lunch. I was going to go to a nice restaurant. No, trust me, my food is better. Because the second you start saying things like that, right, you're going to end up, right, then you start re-triggering the concern that you might cook extra, right? The Taz is in the middle position. You don't actually have to tell him.
It's a little bit cultural, right? Certain places you're supposed to say, I don't want to stay, but really, you know, he wants to stay.
Right, so he says a little muffed here, right? Meaning, so you have some who say you actually need to verbalize it, some say you don't, and the Taz says you don't have to verbalize, you don't have to tell him, I'm not cooking extra for you, but you also shouldn't go out of your way to pressure him and say, don't worry, it's going to be the best meal you ever had, right? You'll get all the delicacies, because then you're going to feel the pressure to actually provide. So that's the Taz's compromise. If you're pressuring him, love, even if he comes by himself, once you show how much you want him to eat with you, you're worried that you might cook extra. Because in such a situation, what's the difference whether you invited him in advance or you invite him on Yom Tov? Now, I have a suggestion at a second heter. We've seen the Magen Avraham potential heter. I have a suggestion, a second heter, to invite a non-Jew based on this, right? Often, I think this is actually what some rabbis do. I'm not sure it works, but maybe it works. Maybe this is a tzad l'hakel. You could invite the non-Jew and say, please come to my Seder on the first night, right? Or you could say, look, I'm having a Seder on the first and second night. We have a lot of guests. You know, feel free to come without letting me know, right? Like, just don't let me know if you're coming, right? Feel free to show up if you happen to be free, right? You know, right? Just drop in. Don't worry about it. We have enough food, right? It won't be a burden. I wonder whether that's a tzad l'hakel, because that's not really, it's sort of inviting. But on the other hand, it's not really, right? Because you're not sure in advance they're going to show up. You don't know which Seder they're going to come for. You're telling them that there's extra food and you're not cooking specifically for them, right? So I wonder whether that would mitigate the problem, right? Because you're not exactly doing it, right? You're saying you're free to show up, but, you know, do enough, enough sort of...
It would create a double Easter, because being Jewish, you would end up cooking extra for both meals, because you don't know which meals are showing
up. Right, so that's why I'm not sure that what I just said is correct, but I wonder whether some people are relying on some sort of these open, you know...
Well, how might this apply to Amir al-Akum to do something on Shabbos, you know, to hint indirectly?
I mean, where we say it's Usher?
What?
Where we say it's Usher, Remez?
Well, yeah.
I mean, here you're not... I mean is this type of...
He's standing there, you say it's dark, and, you know, unfortunately, it gets against my religion to switch on electric light, and, oh,
right.
Well...
Okay, but he's not doing anything for you.
Right. I mean, this is different, but, you know. This is like the opposite. It's you doing the malacha, but... Yeah, so again, I'm not sure whether this is actually a heter, but I throw that out as a sad lahakel. Maybe I'm far from convinced that this is true, right? But okay, we'll throw that as a possibility.
But how do we understand though the mafreshim of the Agudah, who talked about historical experience,
that they would invite Goyim?
Between the difference between kol d'chin yesev yachol and the korban pesach, right, was that they would invite
Goyim. Yeah, so maybe that was before the Gzera, I don't know. I saw somebody mention this, but I'm not even sure.
It's more than one first the Gzera.
I know, but it does seem to go against the Gemara. So,
I know.
Right, so I don't know exactly what they're thinking. I've wondered about it, but I'm not sure.
Well, there's never Yatsar, but if you really beg him to stay, then you can't really invite him.
So that's what Taz is saying, right?
So the guy comes around and says, you must stay, you must stay, you must stay. He says, wait a minute, now you can't stay.
Right.
How does that work?
In a hanami, right? The question, the issue is, don't get yourself into that situation. Well, okay, fine. You know what? At this point, you've brought it up and Alan's brought it up, so I'll bring it up here. At that point, what I would say is let him stay because of a different heter. The Rav Paulim and the following question and the Kav HaChaim postulates this way. He says, what happens if the non-Jew shows up? You've cooked coffee for yourself, right? And now you give him your coffee, and now you have to cook again. So it's not that you cooked for him, right? But you are cooking separate because of what happened. Is that mutter? So there, the Rav Palim says it's mutter. He says, why? Because it would be such a chil Hashem, right? It was the culture. Someone comes, you offer him coffee. If he shows up by himself and you don't give him the coffee, it's a chil Hashem. So it becomes a tzorich for you on Yom Tov, right, to give him that coffee. And once you've given him the coffee, now you have to eat, right? So you're allowed to make yourself coffee, right? And that's the Kav HaChaim Paskins. Now, I think if you ended up in this situation, right, post facto, where it would create a Chil Hashem, you know, you'd say, oh, you know what? I take that back, right? So at that point, I think you'd be mutter to, you know, let him stay. Try not to cook extra, right? But if you're going to cook extra... you shouldn't, but if you did, what you should do, presumably, is give him the food that was already cooked and cook for yourself.
Right.
Right? You can't cook for him. You can never do that. That's daraisa. But you could give him what you cooked for yourself, and then once that's eaten, or in the process of being eaten, right, you could cook for yourself. You know, you say, oh, you know, I already made this wonderful dish. You know, I hope you enjoy. I'm not really that hungry. I'll go make a, you know, whatever, a sandwich or something. Right? Or, you know, why don't you have it first while it's hot, and I'll make myself another one. Maybe that would be mutter according to the Rav Paulim. Okay, so that would be second quasi-heter. Again, these are weak. Yud Aleph. Umutter laharbos. Hinei ha-mechaber kalal din avdo v'shivchaso k'nanim v'akum shubo me'ilav b'chada ma'achta. The mechaber had said that Eved Shivcha and Akum and a guest are the same. V'arama l'farish yish chiluk b'nei, but the Rama clarified there's a difference.
What if it's an Eved K'nani?
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Are we talking?
Yeah, of course. Eved Yisrael is Jewish. Eved Ivri is Jewish.
Eved Kanani already has more mitzvahs and stuff.
Yeah, so I wonder whether he'd have to. You would think that he'd be included, but apparently not. Right?
Maybe just talking about Eved and Shivcha, just general people are working for them. Not
so I'm not sure, because
you bump people and you help them.
Right, so it could be that, or it could really be Eved and Shivcha, because the way the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it is, Michal, right, he's Yatsa Michal. On the other hand, you would say he's partially Jewish and he's asur to do malacha, so presumably you should be allowed to cook for him. So maybe it's talking about a pure non-Jew. Maybe he's talking about a pure non-Jew.
That's what I thought he was talking about. More of a, that's what of I a butler a servant or something like that.
I mean, hired help.
Yeah, so maybe it's, just a pure non-Jew. I mean, that makes more sense in context, but... So he says the Shulchan Aruch includes them together. The Ramah distinguishes. It says Shchiluk Beinahem. The Avdo Vishachasa Afilo Marbe Begdera Lachatchila Bishvilam Shari. In the same pot, you're allowed to cook extra for this for the Eved and Shivcha. Given the Chatir Chuvelo Chashim Bedidu Shami Yishavasha Begdera Acheres Bishvilam. Because we're not worried you're going to cook in a separate pot, which means as long as you cook in the same pot, it's Daraisa fine, and we're not worried about the Darabanan. Yeah, I assume it must be a real non-Jew. Otherwise, I can't imagine that you can't cook for an Eved Kanani. No one builds on Shibra. I can't imagine. Because they're partially Jewish. They're Asr B'malacha. I can't imagine that that's the case. Anyways, Achtarachli Zayr, Shlomer B'feirish M'vashal B'shvilam. He says, you should be careful, because there are Rishonim who think, and we saw this in the Beis Yosef, that if you verbalize that you're cooking for the non-Jew, then even cooking in the same pot is a problem. So he says, try to avoid that. Right? Tosos thinks is even if you have in mind for it, then it's usser. The worry Shannon would say only if you verbalize, I am cooking for the non-Jew, and I add to this pot, then it's a problem. So he said, try to avoid that, because why? What do you get? What do you gain by verbalizing it? You're just violating some Rishonim. But if it's a guest, you can only give what you've prepared for yourself. But to give him from an extra from your pot, you cook extra, that's also the chashin and shemivash alvura levad od bikdera cheres, you might cook in a separate pot. But osa kedera, and that's obviously vidavko vas achas dechatircho, this is only at the same time of a host of achas basar bishvilam. Right? One pot means one act. You can't, you know, it can't be the non-Jew comes in, you already have a pot in the stove, and you start throwing things extra just for the non-Jew. That's not what we mean. We mean that it was already in the pot, or that it was one tircha. And this comes back to Howie's point. It's not enough that it just makes the taste better. It sounds like it also has to be one tircha, meaning you have to be, you know, you're chopping up all the vegetables together and throwing them in the pot. You can't be that when the non-Jew comes in, you start adding to the pot separately for him. Elam ken yeshlo.
Why is that different than having someone drop in and you already have the food?
Right, so that's the point. I mean, as long as it's already in the pot, it's fine. You just can't add to the pot.
It sounds silly. Like
if you have two pots that you cook for yourself and someone drops in, you can...
Oh, no, that's for sure true. Meaning he means...
What's the one pot?
No, one pot means... One pot isn't one pot. I mean, one pot is not a separate pot for the non-Jew. You could have 10 pots for yourself. You could have 10 different dishes, but you shouldn't...
Right. So it's not adding to the same pot. That you're not allowed to do.
Right, meaning you can in advance, meaning... If you were cooking you're chopping up all the vegetables and cooking all the soup, then you don't have to stop at the exact amount that it'll be for the Jew, right? You're pouring in water anyways to the soup, you know, to the chicken soup. You can keep pouring in water, but you can't. The non-Jew shows up at your door and you say, "Oh, there's not enough liquid in the soup," right. And then pour water because that's a separate act, right?
Right.
But in advance, you could do it. Know that you
on a daraisa level, right? Right. As long as it's the same act, right? As long as you're just pouring in water. Right, then we could start asking what happens at that moment when you realize you fill up this pot, right? Meaning, if you fill up the water in the pot by putting it under the sink, fine. But let's say you pour it in cup by cup, right? So then presumably the same problem, because at some point you realize, right, I'm now pouring in water for the non-Jew, right? So we'd have to draw fine distinctions. But he means, right, so he just clarifies that the rice is only solved when you cook for... that it's one tircha, it's one act. He said the only time it might be mutter, and this is coming back to what we saw in Chaf Aleph, Elam kin yesh l'machal machirim shiuchal afaisam bam, v'im shekol abazar ro'i bishvil Yisrael, v'az mutter le'dem lechol mizeh. Things are mitigated a little bit if you have, you know, other food for him. Let's say you have tray food sitting around, right, that you could give him, so you come in and say you're free to have whatever here, right, so then at that moment... Everything in the kosher pot may be yours because, you know, he might eat the other stuff, then the isser would be mitigated as well. And then he notes that by bread, it's a machl, right? It's a bit different. Baking is a problem because each bread is a different unit. So bread, he thinks you can't, even on a daraisa level, right? You couldn't add for him unless... All the bread could be eaten by a Jew. You have something else to give him, right? Because then it's like the case on Daf Chav Aleph, and that would be fine. Because Nimsek Kol Apas Roi Bishvil Yisrael Vaz Mutar Leitin Gam Lehem Lechol Mimenu Lufiyam Mavur Leel, etc. Okay.
The Batul K'deira, is that referring to a goy in general, or is that back to the Avadim HaShvachos?
It's the Avadim HaShvachos now. Okay. Yeah, we're on the Avadim HaShvachos.
So in general, for...
Which is the same question for the Daraisa, for a non-Jew, but we're just on the question of Mutl L'Chatchila, not...
Right, but if you're... The way that we're understanding it, then it would appear that for a Stam Goy, it would be Doraita and not Darabanan.
No. Because whatever is true L'Chatchila for a Shifchan Eved is Mutl Daraisa for a Goy. Right, according to most shittos, right, with the exception of the shittos who said that the reason shivcha is different is because mizonos and alecha, right, with the exception of that shittos who thinks that eved and shivcha are fundamentally different on a daraisa level, not a darabanan level, right. If you think that eved and shivcha is motor daraisa because of mizonos and alecha, then obviously all of this is different. But assuming you think eved and shivcha is aser daraisa to cook separately for them, and the only question is. The only difference is that we've waived the Darabanan, and now we just need to revert to the Daraisa. So then, whatever is true L'Chatchila for them is what is true on the Daraisa level for a regular non-Jew.
But it says that L'Chatchila, you can't even cook for the Shifcha and the Eved.
No, L'Chatchila, you can.
You have to have the potential that you're cooking it only
for the Shifcha. No, he says you can cook. No, he says you can cook B'chad Tircha L'Chatchila, B'shtei Tirchos, if you efshel afaisa, that's his distinction, right? You're allowed to, if it's one big act, then it's mutl l'chatchila. If it's two acts, right, you're adding food to the pot afterwards, then it's efshel afaisa, right? That's the difference between yud aleph and yud bet. Right, yud aleph, he says, is totally fine.
Right.
Yud bet is if you're adding post facto, so then you need efshel afaisa. But that's all on the daraisa level. Okay. So reading through the Mishnah Berurah, we still don't really have many heterim, right? And the truth is, it's very hard to find heterim. Where you find the heterim is in the one case when poskim have a vested interest in saying it's mutter. And that's not inviting a stam non-Jew, that's inviting someone in the process of gerus, right? And that is something that happens all the time. So how do you deal with that? So if you look at 15, I just gave you a summary of all the shitas. Okay? So, Shevet HaKahati, who's a Rav Shammai Gross, says the reason gerim are different is because according to, let's see that in a second, is because we can, for a ger, because there's a tzorech, so we can rely on the Rajba. The Rajba had said that the only reason there's an Isser Darabanan to invite a non-Jew is because you might feed him non-kosher. Someone who's learning how to be Jewish is not coming to your house on Pesach to eat non-kosher, he's coming to learn how to be Jewish. And therefore, there's no chash that you're going to serve him non-kosher food. And therefore, the Darabanan will be waived. The Daraisa still won't be, so you can't cook a separate dish for him. But the Darabanan will be waived, and therefore you're going to be allowed to invite the Ger.
But I'm coming to hear about your rituals. And I have no reason that this person wants anything else.
Right, so you could say that, except that there's no Tzorach, right? Meaning, because there's still the Rosh and the Ran who don't agree with this, that with the Ger, where we have a vested interest in it, right? So then, we're not going to push, right? Then we'll allow it. But we're not... this is a shas atraket there, so it won't really help for a non-Jew. What might help is the Mishnah Sager, this is Menashe Klein, says it's not just that you reasonably aren't going to give him non-kosher food, because we never cook non-kosher food in our house, right? We freak out with milk and meat way more than we have to. No one's bringing pork into their house and going to have their pork pot, right? This just doesn't happen. But the Sefer Hasidim says it's not just that you wouldn't give to someone the process of Geirus, is that once someone starts the process of Geirus, it's usser to give them non-kosher food. Now, if it's usser to give them non-kosher food, so then you have more of a reason to rely on the Rashba, because it's not just that you practically aren't going to do it, you can't do it. And that's not true of a regular non-Jew, right? You can give a regular non-Jew non-kosher. Now, the Mishnah Zager says that...
Really? How does the Sefer Hasidim get that?
What? I have no idea what the Sefer Hasidim gets that, but I don't ask questions on Menashe Klein in general because he's an interesting Pesach. But whatever. I can tell you not on record, but fine.
You don't ask questions on Sefer Hasidim.
You don't really ask questions on Sefer Hasidim either. But now he in the process of Geirus, non-kosher food.
Is it us for going to eat non-kosher food in the process of Geirus?
So again, I find this very unlikely, but this is what the Sefer Chassidim says. So he says,
but he doesn't pass over into Allah Sefer Chassidim anyway.
Okay, but whatever. He brings this up as another sniff lahakel. Now he says you could have said it's lo plug. He said, you could have said it to Asr Midin Lo Plug, but he says, La Halacha, we're going to be Mekel. Okay. Rabbi Yashiv comes up with a clever Svara, which Nissim Karelis rejects, which is, the Gemara only says that you're not allowed to give the guy from your food Shema Yarba Bishvilo. Right? But you can give him from his food, because if he has food in your house anyways, you're not going to give him from your food. So what Rabbi Yashiv says, what you should do is, before Yom Tov, whatever food the guy's going to eat, you should be makne to him. You should make it his in advance, because then he's not eating your food. He's eating his food. Now, first of all, this is not going to help you with your regular guest. Maybe you can explain that to a ger, right? Someone in the process of ger rosin, and maybe they won't be scared off. But a regular non-Jew that's not working. Rav Nissim Karelitz said, what
are you saying? You say to the, when the guard comes in,
this is your food. Yes. Rav Nissim Karelitz said, what are you talking about? The whole problem of inviting the non-Jew is you're worried you might cook extra to show respect.
Right.
You're not going to do this. You're going to end up, if he finishes everything you gave him before Yom Tov, you're going to give him more food. Like, what? Who are we kidding? But okay, that's Rav Yashiv Svara. Rav Malamud says, I have it. It's easy. Look, at least with a ger, he's in the process of gerus. You can explain to him without offending him, look, we're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for people who are chayiv in the mitzvah. At the moment, you're still learning about it, so I can't cook extra for you. So just know, you can come, but you have to eat from what there is. Meaning the amira of the rajba, you can fulfill it with someone in the process of gerus. It's easier just to tell him, look, I want you to come, and we will have plenty of food, but I can't accommodate, right? Let's say you're vegetarian, I can't accommodate you with a special dish. There'll be plenty of side dishes, there'll be plenty of, you know, I'm a vegetarian, there's extra food, whatever, it's fine, but I can't make a separate dish for you. Because with a ger, at least you can explain that. Can you explain that so well to a regular non-Jew? I'm not convinced, and also it might not help. Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, even though there is room to be makel by gerim, he thinks this is only true if you invite one ger. Because one ger, you could say you're not going to cook an extra pot. But let's say it's a family of six. Who's going to convert? You could have all the good intentions in the world, but when they show up, you might end up cooking extra. Right? So he says, even for a ger, remember, for the ger, maybe you can waive the derabanan. But you can't waive the daraisa. And there's a real chash if you're inviting a whole family that you're going to end up cooking extra because you're going to realize you don't have enough food. So Shlomo Zalman says, as much as we're going to rely on these heterim, you can't rely on it for a large number of people. Shlomo Zalman just adds one more point. He says, this is all true of someone who knows he's not Jewish in the process of geirus. Then there might be room to be mekel. But let's say you have somebody who thinks he's Jewish. He said, that is the worst. Because that person, Bichlal, will not understand why you're not treating him like exactly like a Jew. Because he thinks he's a Jew. So he says all these heterim only work for someone who is actually knows he's a non-Jew and is converting. But if someone is, you know, has converted reform, right, and is not Jewish, and maybe will want to become Orthodox one day and go through another conversion, that person you really, really can't have. That's Shlomo Zalman's position. Whether everyone agrees with this, I don't know.
You have to cross-examine him before.
I don't know, but this is what Shlomo Zalman says.
I know for a fact that Yuval Sharlow disagrees with that.
Okay, I'm not saying everyone agrees with that. I'm saying this is what Shlomo Zalman says.
There's a consistency to it if you're allowed to invite him over.
Yeah.
Why are you allowed to invite him over if you can't cook for him?
Because you could be Marv Bishvilo, Bilser Kadera. Meaning, or again, remember.
You're allowed to invite him over.
They participate in
it. Well, no, because a ger, the whole part of the process of gerus is getting them familiar with Yom Tov. That's the reason that everyone wants to find a heter to invite a ger, is because part of becoming a ger is learning about the Yom Tov.
I understand that, but that.
Which means you have to invite him over at some point. Someone has to.
But if you are entitled to invite him over, then you should be entitled to cook for it.
No, because what everyone's saying is the daraisa isn't solved.
There's an inconsistency in that.
No, because the daraisa, because in the end of the day, he's a guy, so the daraisa still applies, right?
Because you can't invite him over then.
But then he will. But the problem is you're stuck.
But the rabbana, you still have a rabbana problem.
No, it's the other way around. The daraisa, if it's in the same pot, so then you've solved the daraisa. So, the only, right, so everyone agrees you can't cook in a separate pot for the ger. But if you've solved the daraisa, now we only need to solve the derabanan. And the derabanan, maybe you can wait for a ger because there's a tzorech and all these svarot. But, meaning, you're caught.
But the whole shaila was that basically if you invite him over, you might cook for him, but we don't want you to invite him over because you're going to cook for him.
Correct, but in this case, we need you to invite him over because he needs to learn what Judaism is about. So
why aren't we concerned you're going to cook for him?
Well, that's what everyone's trying to deal with. Either we're not concerned about it because you're not going to cook treif, and therefore you're only going to be marba in the same pot, right? Or, right, you're only allowed to invite individual people, not families. Or, right, you're mocked in the food. That's what everyone's trying to deal with. Right. You're caught, because on the one hand, he's a goy, right? And therefore, there's all the problems. You might cook for him, etc. On the other hand, you need to invite him over. So that's why what all the poskim say is solve the d'oraisa problem, right? Meaning, make sure to only cook for them in the same pot. Now you've solved the d'oraisa. And then they provide all these svaras to waive the d'rabbanan, right? It's a very fine line to walk, but we have no choice because you need at some point to teach this person.
Dafka, in his case, you wouldn't be afraid because a part of your educating him on how to be a Jew,
well, that's what Malamud says.
He's going to have Goyish relatives that he might be tempted once he's converted to invite, mm-hmm. and you're teaching him the halacha mm-hmm. that you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Malamud says. Like, so he says, solve the Darabonan and then explain to him why you're doing it exactly the way you're doing mm-hmm. it. Right, that's the whole point, is you're walking a very fine line, but you have no choice to walk it. Okay, let's just see the last thing. So now, but again, all of this helps us with the Gerim case, where poskim are mekel, because there's a real tzorech, so we're willing to waive the derabanan for all these svarot, as long as you make sure to cook in the same pot. But a regular non-Jew, we still haven't seen much to mimatir. Right. So the heter comes down to really this. In 16, this is from Rosh Shlomo Zalman. It's from Pinini Halacha from Malamud. He just quotes Rosh Shlomo Zalman, but Rosh Shlomo Zalman was in PDF, so I put it from this, which was in Word. It says, Yesh l'ayin, im yesh heter l'hasmin milechatchila goyin echbad l'lel, seder v'chayotze b'zegedei l'ho l'tzibor. Are you allowed to invite non-Jews, right, chashiv non-Jews, where it's going to be helpful for the community? And this is what rabbis have done for a long time. So, ayin b'sholchan Shlomo. So, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, shemisaper shekach nagu l'hasmin konsalim. Right, the consuls were invited. And this was right. This is what everyone did.
If Rabbi invites you, then it's okay, what? No problem.
What?
If Rabbi invites you to the Seder, which you used to do every
evening. Obama, well, yeah, that's fine. The guy invites you, that's fine. So he says, Lafiani is daiti nira, sheyeh efshar lahatir zos b'shasat chak. So he says, b'shasat chak b'imotar, rak im yikbu la'atzim ha'shigimur levashas kol ma'chal mefnei yom tov. So he says, if it's shasat chak, so I'm willing to waive the d'rabbanan, but you have to cook everything before Yom Tov, which is a version of the Magen Avraham, right? B'diyuk kifi shenagim b'Shabbos, v'zeh yismayt achshah shem yivashol b'avuro. And again, this is a very questionable heter, but as I said, b'shas atchak, people will expand the Magen Avraham, even though the Magen Avraham doesn't seem to say this, they'll expand the Magen Avraham. Odef Charlotte Sarish Ladas Rover Rishonim and Isser Torah Mivashal Ochel Kosher Avur Nachri Agoy. He says, most Rishonim say that it's not us, as long as you're cooking kosher food, to cook for the goy. Hol of Ulayevo Orchim, because guests might come. The Khan Kasher Kol Matarash Al Goy, the Sarefel Sudayu Dim Kimanagam. And since the non Jew wants to see what it's like to be Jewish, in Khashevashalayim Machala Isser, so they're not going to eat non kosher food, right? So that's Svara that you're not going to cook, right? Gerard Svara, he said, if there's a need, we can be mitzvahed that. Let no non-Jew comes to your house and expects non-kosher food. V'ulai gaming zera vim nekabel svarazun. If this is true, azai yemutter lakal bazeh gam shelo b'shasat chak. If this was fully true, then you could be mater inviting non-Jews always. Kasher magamadav asmana lechavod chag yudi al kol chodav. Anytime a non-Jew just wants to experience, you know, Pesach, the feast for Azu of Shalakel Gam Klapea Rotsim Lit Gayer, and this would be easy for people who want to convert. Oshit Starfu Reformim Rotsim Lit Karvam Lit Girah Halacha, or Reform Jews that you want to write, and this is Rav Shurlo's thing, Girah Halacha. So, what we have in the end of the day is that for Gerim, there's plenty of Heterim. For people who think they're Jewish, the Panini Halacha is willing to be Makel based on a combination of Heterim. Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks that's the one case you really can't be Makel. For non-religious Jews, the Mishnah Brura is no to Lachmir. Tzitz Eliezer says, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, Motar, first of all, because he's not, you're allowed to cook for him, he's not in Lachem V'lo L'Nachrem, and besides, even if he were in the Dirabanan, right, he's not in the, no, so even if he's in the Darais, he's not in the Dirabanan. So as long as you're marba in the same pot. Another one of the heterim that the hotels use that I didn't put here is that all of this seems to only be true if the Jew is cooking. But if the non-Jew is cooking for non-Jews, right, then this would be mutter. So in hotels, you have that added head there. And then, as you see from the Panini Halacha, there's a lot of these svaros that are shaky, such as expanding the Magen Avraham and saying, if you cook everything before Yom Tov, so that's just like inviting people right before the meal. It's shaky, but for a ger or b'shas atchak, some poskim are willing to make it. Some people will expand the Rashba and say, since the only reason you can't invite people is because you might end up cooking non-kosher, so since no one coming to your house expects non-kosher, so maybe it's mutter. Again, there's a very shaky head there, but this is partially what people rely on. Again, just remember that any of these heterim, even if you do accept them, which is shaky, but b'shas atzorech, people really do, the one thing you can't do is ever violate the daraisa. Right? All of this only says you can invite them, but you still always have to keep in mind that you can only be marbe in the same pot and not in a separate pot. So that's basically what exists. The different svarot lahakel. I'll just say the last one last week that I said didn't find compelling at all, but so that you know you can decide whether you think it is. There was an article in Chovavei's journal and what's it called? Me'orot in 5769 where Rabbi Yaakov Lov suggested that the Gemara says Asur lahazmino b'yom tov. So he thinks that the Isser is only to invite him on Yom Tov. But inviting him Erev Yom Tov is mutter, because then you can prepare, and therefore, right, he said he thinks the only problem is inviting him on Yom Tov, because then you didn't have time to prepare. But if you invited them before Yom Tov, so you have time to prepare, you're not going to cook extra. And then he says, okay, I find this very unlikely in the Gemara, and the Gemara seems to be clear, you just can't invite people because you'll end up cooking extra for them. But that was his Svara Lahakel. So as you see, there's a lot of these tenuous Svara Lahakel, which B'shas HaTzorech you can rely on, for Gerim for sure you can rely on, whether we can rely on them on Lechat Chilo basis, as the Panini Halacha said, maybe you can, but that's far from obvious, because each of the Svarot are very, very tenuous. Okay, we went a little bit over time, but I just wanted to get this topic done with, because it's a very practical Halacha Maisa topic.